What's up, guys? Coach Steve here, and welcome back to another episode of the Challenge Weekly Show. I'm here joined with...
Coach Nick.
Coach Nick. Nick, how are you doing today?
I'm very good, thanks. Coach Steve, how are you?
I'm excited to be here. It's an exciting day.
It is.
It's an exciting time of the challenge. We are currently in week seven.
We are
almost finishing up this phase of the challenge, mm-hmm. and we're about to transition into that final phase. It's exciting times where we've kind of tipped over that halfway mark.
Definitely. And everyone's in their routine now. Mm-hmm. So everybody's all set up for success.
Success. Mm-hmm. Yes. Nick, how's your prep going for your comp?
Speaking of success.
Success.
It's actually on the same timeline as this challenge, really. So whenever anyone says 7 weeks, 6 weeks, I always think, oh, that's me too. So even though it's weeks, it's also now days. So mm-hmm. to me, every day is important. So that's mm-hmm. also a way of thinking about it, that you can actually change the outcome of stuff within a day now. Mm-hmm. So days are important in this challenge as well as weeks, but it's no longer something on the horizon. And even though, you know, with the whole COVID shutdown, it's been a while, but everything is going very well. Mm-hmm. I'm tracking very well. I'm starting to visualize myself actually doing it, which is a good sign for me. Because if I'm doing something reasonably well, but I can't see myself doing it, there's a little bit of a problem there. So there's a disconnect, but I'm visualizing it happening. I'm even planning how I'm going to drive there, that kind of thing. So it's going to happen.
It's going to happen.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So everything's good. Feels good. You have your good days and your bad days, but that's very, very normal.
Yeah. Now, I think when we think about competitions of any sort, let that be a bodybuilding show, let that be a triathlon, let that be a powerlifting event, there's lots of moving parts, and often it isn't just a one-player game, right? So yes, it's going to be you on stage, but there's also other people that are involved in you getting on stage, right?
Definitely.
From your family, maybe some friends, maybe you know, those who are making your costumes, maybe you've got hair and makeup and all the other things, and you've got a coach, correct?
I do, I do.
So I guess the theme of today, and you know, what we want to talk about is the idea of working with a coach, and we're going to talk a little bit about being both the coach and the coachee.
Yes.
I'm going to touch on being a mentor and a mentee, mm-hmm. and you know what that relationship is like, and how we can improve our ability to mentor somebody, and then improve our ability to be a good mentee, or be a good student, or be a good coachee, if that's a word. But could you start us off by talking a little bit about your coach, if you just got one or a few, and what the relationship is like with your coach right now, getting ready for this competition?
Okay, so prior to doing all the bodybuilding stuff, I had basically a mentor that wasn't so much a coach. He was just there, and we used to train together, so that was really good. But for triathlons, I never had one. So for this is a structured plan. It's really good because somebody takes over that for me, because I coach other people myself. I find that I like to have somebody to drive me, because mm-hmm. I find that I use a lot of my energy coaching other people, and also with the spin classes and stuff. So it's good to have somebody. Basically, I know that they're waiting for me, so I have to get into the gym, mm-hmm. or I know that they're expecting me to report in mm-hmm. about things. Well, I shouldn't say they, it's a guy, yeah. So it's Dan. Hi, Dan, if you're listening. So yeah, he's really good. We have been working together for about 2 years now, which is fantastic, because he now knows how my body works and responds. Mm-hmm. So I think the first thing that I would suggest with a coach is give them some time mm-hmm. to get to know you, and give yourself time to get to know that coach and mm-hmm. their methods, and whether they work for you or not. You actually need to give yourself time with them, because they're not superhuman. They're not, mm-hmm. you know, nobody's a robot. So it's not like you can scan yourself into that person and they go, "We are mm-hmm. compatible." It takes a while, you know, doesn't it? You know, to get to know someone's body and the way it responds, because people don't all respond the same way. So with us, we've been through a number of preps now, even ones that didn't eventuate because of COVID, we still were hoping that they would. So we've got a fairly good idea of where I'm up to and where we want my skin folds to be. We're very both data-based, mm-hmm. data-driven. So I like that. Mm-hmm. I like to be accountable to data, and that really helps me to know where I need to be mm-hmm. and what I need to be doing. Mm-hmm. And also, he's very good at programming things like a deload for me, which I would never, if I was coaching myself, I'm always go, go, go. So it's really good to have somebody to actually force you to do things like stop sometimes as well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, but key thing is, none of this works unless I take responsibility for myself.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So there's somebody to guide me in this area, but he cannot be responsible for what I do any other time other than when I'm checking in with him.
Mm-hmm.
He can't be responsible for what I put into my mouth, for how I sleep, for how I'm doing my training, all that sort of stuff. He can't be responsible for everything, for every rep that I do.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's still about personal responsibility. It's about just sharing that with someone else who comes along for the journey, and they guide you, and mm-hmm. they can help you when you're emotional.
Mm-hmm.
But for me, it's still about absolutely being 100% accountable.
Yeah, yeah. Lots to unpack there.
I know, right?
Lots
I know.
To unpack there with idea of being a coach, right?
Yeah, and you love this topic.
We've both been coaches to people. We've both been mentors to people.
Yes.
We've both been teachers for people. And I'm sure we've both been both the mentee, the mm-hmm. coachee, and the student. Mm-hmm. And it's all a similar symbiotic relationship where one exists because of the other, right?
Yes.
And it really comes down to this idea of building a relationship.
Mm.
And relationships take time. Sometimes they're not compatible, and sometimes they work well, right?
Mm.
And you know, you won't know unless you put in effort.
That's right.
So part of being both the coach and the coachee, both part of being the mentor and the mentee and the teacher and the student, is to spend some time in building that relationship so that you understand, you communicate, you know what you're talking about, right?
Mm.
Because the only way that you can see progress with your relationship with that other person is that you get to know that person, understand their ways of thinking, and you know, finding out how they can help you, because in both directions, right, it's a two-way agreement.
It has to be
both the coach and the coachee, both the mentor and the mentee, and the teacher and the student both get something out of the relationship that you build.
Yes.
Right. So for me and many people who choose to be mentors or be coaches, sometimes it is a cash reward. Yeah, okay, we do it for mm-hmm. financial gain, but a lot of the times it's for intrinsic reasons, right?
Yes.
And, you know, we have a free mentoring program within the challenge. It's built into our Facebook support group. So if you're not already on that Facebook support group, it's just the Max and Maxine official Facebook support group on Facebook. And you can sign up for free to be a mentor or a mentee. So that's the keyword there. It's a volunteering process.
Yeah, it's
so
voluntary.
It's not something that you have to sign up to or need to sign up to, or just because you've done a challenge doesn't mean you need to sign up to be a mentor or anything like that. But we have, you know, hundreds of people that sign up to be both a mentor and hundreds of people that sign up to be a mentee.
Mm.
And we create hundreds of connections between people that can support each other.
Definitely. Now, it's quite remarkable, actually.
It is.
Mm.
And yes, there's many people that look for that help, being a mentee and putting their hand up saying, I need help with this.
Mm.
And there's also so many people that go, hey, I've done this before. I'm offering help for free, volunteering, right? And we see lots of people getting really successful relationships.
Mm.
And that could be, you know, they talk about life and family and work and everything in between. And sometimes it's a very formal relationship where they only talk about the challenge.
Check-in.
They only talk about check-ins, those types of things, right? But the most successful mentor-mentee relationships are ones where people put in time and put in effort. Right?
Yes.
And we see that in a coach and coachee relationship. We see that with you and your coach, Dan the man, right?
Yep.
You spend time with Dan the man building that relationship with him so that, you know, you both are on the same wavelength.
Yeah,
right?
You have to give, you have to be open and give, because you can't expect to get unless you give in that relationship.
Exactly. Exactly.
So it's so important.
And we like stories here.
We love stories.
Here's a little bit of a story time.
Okay.
Story time with Steve.
All right,
to start
Steve,
a new segment,
I'm ready.
Right?
Yeah,
I know. So this is a time when I was a little bit younger than I am now. And I was, you know, maybe not so much of Coach Steve. I was a little bit more of Arrogant Steve, right?
Yeah.
Mr. Know-it-all Steve, right? And this is a story or an example of times when I haven't been humble enough to surrender to a teacher-student relationship, okay, or the coach-coachee relationship or mentor-mentee relationship, where it was a time when I was at uni, right? I was finishing my master's in osteopathy, and we would be in a clinical environment. So we would be treating a patient, and part of that was we would have a clinician who would be overseeing what we're doing, right? So, you know, you would come in and see me, you've got a sore back or whatever your presentation is. I would go and converse with the clinician who's a experienced osteopath, or one of the teachers or something similar. And I'd say, you know, I've got, you know, this patient, Nick, she's in the room, she's got back pain, comes on because she's sitting at work, blah, 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 whatever it is. And they would guide me through what, you know, what they would do, or they would ask me questions, being like, all right, would you do this, or would you do this, or, you know, what indicates you to do option A, B, and C? And oftentimes I would end up getting in a almost kind of clashing heads with this person, right? Because I was almost in a position where I felt like I knew it all, right?
Yes.
I wasn't humble enough to submit to the position of, you know, being the student in that role. And maybe that's to do with, you know, a bunch of other factors. Maybe my personality, maybe me being, you know, a little bit of a dick at the time. maybe me being, you know, I know a little bit more than you, even though this person's been treating for X amount of years, many more times than me, I'm still a student, right? And out of that time, you know, it was really just wasted time. It was a wasted opportunity for me to learn because I was stuck in my ways being like, oh no, I know what I'm talking about.
Yes.
Maybe because, yeah, you know, whatever reason it was. And it wasn't until I submitted to being the student again or submitted to being the mentee or submitted to being the coachee to that position so that I could learn something, right? And, you know, it goes back to maybe yourself with Dan the Man, right? Where you are coaching people. You're in a position where he is, where you are coaching others, and now he is coaching you.
Yes.
So how did you go by maybe breaking down that barrier where going, hey, like right now, I either A, don't have all the answers, or B, don't want to have the answers, and I want to kind of pass on a little bit of get help and pass that on to Dan going, hey, I'm, you know, busy with my life. Can you help me with my programming, my nutrition? Yes, I can do that myself, but I want you to help me. Like, how did you go down that process of like passing that on to him for help?
I think with bodybuilding, and I'm not being sexist or anything, but I'm just saying like being a woman in terms of, I know that I can be emotional. Okay. And that's the last thing you need in prepping someone for a physique show is emotion. So as a coach, it's great because I have a lot of feeling. I have a lot of passion. I can tap in emotionally to my clients. I can read what they want before they even know it. It's a thing. But with training myself in that kind of realm, and then also the self-belief, to believe that you can win a show, I'd love to say that I'm that. I can certainly believe it now, but that's because I have the backing of the people that I need in my corner. And, you know, someone that can say, yeah, you're on track here, you need to do this. It's also very emotional if you start to lose a lot of body fat and then someone says you're going to have a week where you're going to eat a lot more. Probably I can't ever say that I'd be in the position where I'd go, yeah, that's a good idea for me right now, because I'd be like a freight train trying to get to my goal probably before I need to be. So I know my limits in terms of that, but also I enjoy working with someone at that level because I'm often on my own, like now, especially now that I do the Zoom in the shed, you know, I train people online, that kind of thing. I feel like it's great to be able to go in and have some chats about different things or whatever I've decided I want to learn more about, or, you know, bounce ideas. So it's good to have somebody like that.
Yeah, I like that. I think, you know, if we think of it as an analogy, right, it's almost like you are kind of in a really large hedge maze. You know those hedge mazes, right?
I love them.
And, you know, you've got a map in front of you.
Yes.
And you've kind of been here before. You know that when you enter the maze, it's kind of first turn is you turn left, then you turn right, and then you go straight, 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 then left, right? You kind of know that. You've been there before. You've got a map in front of you to help guide you. But then sometimes, you know, our emotions get in the way where we go, oh, maybe I do need to turn right, because everyone's turning right, even though everyone's turning right, even though you know that you should be turning left.
It's like Will Ferrell in Anchorman, where he goes, "Everybody's doing it, nobody's doing it." But
right. And then maybe, you know, someone like Dan is there, maybe next to you, and he's holding the map with you, being like, "No, it's fine. You know, this is what the map is saying, or this is what our data is saying. Like, let's just, you know, put these emotions to the side for now. You know, this is where we're on track." Or maybe Dan is on the outside and he's got like a walkie-talkie and he's got a map as well and, you know, guiding you through it. Or maybe Dan is in like a helicopter, right? And he's like hovering over, watching you go through the maze, right?
Yes.
So different levels to it, of course.
That's right.
But then, you know, that relationship, you know, can be through different styles. Maybe Dan's there with you. Maybe he's watching from the sidelines, or maybe he's, you know, in that helicopter looking over you. But, you know, at the end of the day, we all kind of have that map. and we all kind of had this guide, and we're all kind of heading in the right direction. Because eventually, if you're in that maze for long enough, you'll find your way out, right? You can grind through it. But if you took that step aside, being like, hey, you know, I've been here before, but, you know, I can have, I want help or need help, there's always someone out there who can offer guidance.
And also, my maze is like, I want to be in the elite level maze.
Right. So, like, it's like 3D maze.
Yeah, yeah, 3D maze. Like, and wizard. Wizards in the maze. Wizards in the maze. All the things.
So it's like the maze off of Harry Potter.
Like, I want to be in that maze. So that maze takes some navigation that is sometimes beyond. I mean, on paper, it's all there for me to do. Mm-hmm. But see, the brain is a different thing. And my brain can take me to places that it doesn't need to go to, especially when I'm absolutely buggered from coaching everyone else as well.
Yeah.
So, you can always learn more. Mm-hmm. And I like it. I like being in like a space with someone who is of a similar age to me, has children, has competed before, all mm-hmm. that sort of stuff, has the same values. That's the other thing with your coach or someone that you decide to mentor, take on as a mentor. If you don't have the same values, ultimately, you probably will end up clashing. Because mm-hmm. it could be as simple as this person believes that, I mean, this is the first thing that came to mind. It's like someone believes that you shouldn't eat carbs versus you should. I mean, that's not a value, really. That's just a belief. But then it could be like someone really values their family time, whereas someone else will spend all their time in the gym. It's good to get a coach that understands that sometimes your family's going to be your priority. Your children for the day are going to be your priority. You might not be able to do the thing that you're meant to do on that day because your children have come first. So it's good to have somebody that can navigate that. So it's good to find someone that's in the sort of a similar life position as you. That's a tip I would say.
I agree. I agree. And it's okay to, you know, quit that relationship, right?
Oh, where definitely.
If you've either formally signed up for to have someone coach you, it's okay if it doesn't work out. And it should be almost like the coach being in that position to say, well, this isn't working out.
Yep.
There should be some qualifying factors to there. And then also within, like, let's say our Facebook group with our mentor mentee, you know, we know that some people aren't going to work well together, and that's okay.
And you won't know until you try. Exactly.
But I think, you know, just like any relationship, you've got to put in that effort, right? We can't expect to sign up to something and then expect magic to happen.
No.
Right? We can't sign up to have someone mentor us or sign up to a coach or heck, sign up to join a class to learn Spanish if we're not going to put in effort to take something away from that teacher, that mentor, that coach, right?
That's a really good analogy actually, because say with learning a language, nobody can do that for you.
No.
As in, to get that into your brain, you need to repeat patterns over and over again with learning a language. So that's also similar to learning new skills, like with your body, or learning how to get new habits and things. You also need to give it a chance. Mm-hmm. So the thing is, say 12 weeks is a good time. I wouldn't go chopping and changing in the middle of all of that.
No.
I would probably, unless it's an obvious clash, like say your mentor is 20 years old and goes out all the time, which is fine, whatever, but and you're 50 and you're like, oh, you know, I don't know, that's the dumbest example. Or the other way around, you know, like you want to try and get it to marry up, but at the same time, like, you've got to give things a chance, don't you think?
You do.
Like,
you
that's
do.
Being a beginner. You've got to go into things without a preconceived notion of this has worked or that has worked. You need to go in with a clean slate.
You do. I think the other thing that we definitely need to do in that mentee relationship, in that being that coachee, being that student, is to find ways to learn from your teacher, your coach, your mentor, right? Where things aren't just going to happen organically. You need to put in effort to learn something, right? And, you know, if you think of, you know, Coach Steve at uni learning from my teachers, I had a time where I could have, you know, maybe challenged what they were saying in a positive way, asked some questions, and then learned something from that and taken it away. And then, you know, through my own mental digestion, figured out if I wanted to use that nugget of information or not. And, you know, we see this in the challenge all the time, where people join the challenge, but then aren't ready to, you know, take anything away from the challenge, where they've been, you know, training a certain way, eating a certain way, living a certain lifestyle for so long that they join the challenge and, you know, things might be different and they're not ready to take on that information.
Yeah.
Similar in like a coaching relationship that I've had with people where, you know, I would, you know, suggest them a program or even just going down to the really basic things going, hey, you know, it's really obvious that you're really stressed right now. If we fix your stress, we'll probably find that your body composition will change rather quickly. But they're not willing to accept, you know, my information or my, you know, guidance or anything like that. So if you are in a position where you're the mentee, if you're the coachee, if you're the student, I want you to take time to think about how you can get the most out of that relationship. That could be you asking questions, learning, or you taking on board what this, you know, person is suggesting to you, seeing if that applies to you, and then applying it or not applying it, right? You know, seeing if that works for you or not doesn't work for you, because at the end of the day, that person who's in that position of being a mentor, a coach, or a teacher might know something a little bit more than what you know right now. Maybe.
That's it, right? Because the thing is that whatever they've done, they're probably just a little bit further down the line. That's why they're offering their services, or that's why, say, for example, like that's why I'm a cycle coach, because I've got people that need, you know, that would like to learn things. But the other thing is, I was going to say, as the best kind of coach is the one or mentor that goes, right, you can graduate from me now. You know, it's kind of sad and lovely at the same time, but you want to actually have, you want to be such a good coach that eventually people don't need you anymore.
Ah, the apprentice becomes the master.
Yeah, and then that's right. And then they kill their sensei. But yeah, you want to be like that. And that's the thing that we also have to remember as coaches. When you put your coach's hat on, it's like you're spending some time with people for a little while. You know, it's even like our own children. It's like 18 years. Well, I mean, it's probably not even, it's probably 20 something now because of uni and stuff. But there's only a finite amount of time that you've got with your kids to teach them, and then they need to become their own person.
That's right.
Like they can still hang out, but the idea is to make your children then become their own people. And it's similar to my most successful people will sometimes just send me data of when they've done their own rides or done their own things. And that makes me so happy.
Yeah.
I'd love it if they didn't need me anymore, although they still need me a little bit I can like eat. But yeah, like I've reached that sort of, as a coach, reached that kind of point where my favorite thing is when I see people doing it on their own without me.
Yeah,
I like that.
I feel like oftentimes when I am in that mentor position or that coach position, I'm often bringing the mentee or the coachee back to, you know, first principles, right? Yes. Where, you know, maybe that person has transitioned from a beginner, intermediate to advanced, and then they start delving off into lots of branches in, let that be fitness, for example, right? Where maybe they're becoming really interested in different types of fitness equipment or different types of periodization or different types of dieting.
One type of movement.
Right.
Like deadlifts for like 5 years. For example, years.
Right? And, you know, this is great. You know, it's awesome. But then sometimes the role of the coach is to almost grab hold of the reins and pulling someone back to just the basics.
Yeah.
Right. And that could be that they get so caught up in, you know, how to grab hold of the barbell, for example, that they kind of forget that they just still need to pick it up. Or the other way around, they're so caught up to what's on the bar that they kind of forget, you know, how to just hold the bar.
Hold it, how to, you know, the hand positioning, how to approach the bar with respect.
Right.
You know, like I think, I don't do karate, but my husband does. And it's like the dojo, how there's just that ultimate respect for that. And it doesn't matter if you've got your black belt or your white belt. Actually, the other thing with karate that I only know from Shane. Hi, Shane, if you're listening, which you're not. But he has a black belt and he said that actually that's made to turn back into a white belt after time.
Right,
so isn't that interesting? Because it doesn't matter how many, what black belt you've got. He's got, I think, second or third Dan now with that. But after a while, it fades back to white.
Yeah, interesting.
So that sort of shows you that every single person, no matter what you've gone through, you have to go back to being a beginner to learn.
You do. You do. You almost have to strip back everything that you've learned to go back to the basics.
Yeah.
And you could apply that to almost any sport.
Yeah.
Like, let's say people at the peak level, like, I don't know, let's use an example, Usain Bolt, right? Or Michael Phelps, like peak of their individual sports. But I guarantee that their training is the similar training to what high school athletes would do.
Exactly.
Where they're, you know, just learn, they're practicing how high to get their knees. They're practicing their starts. They're practicing their foot position. You know, Michael Phelps is practicing his dive off the block because, you know, they're going back to the fundamental principles. And even though they're in their peak position, they keep coming back to the basics, right?
Yep.
And often that's what we do as coaches where, you know, we kind of almost like having children, not that I'm... versed in that yet, where, you know, you kind of let your kids go and explore the world, but then you kind of bring them back a little bit, being like, hey, you know, this is the principle, right? Yeah. This is what we're trying to focus on, even though they go off and do their own things, right?
Yeah, and they definitely, that children go through a stage where they think they know better, mm-hmm. and that's actually literally where they'll get injured too.
Yeah.
So it's like, yeah, as it's sort of, it's like a newbie in the gym,
mm-hmm.
and yeah, it's good to have a newbie that sort of recognizes that they are one, because otherwise you let one go in the gym, a newbie, without knowing, and there's injury. It's injury mm-hmm. central. And as coaches, we've probably all been through injuries.
Mm-hmm.
It's just the way it is.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want anyone to have to go through that unless, you know, it happens. But you don't want them to go through that if they can help it. So it's good to just start with a deep breath
mm-hmm.
and, you know... get to know your equipment, respect your equipment, respect your diet from the start,
mm-hmm.
and also, yeah, just have respect for the people that are actually giving their time to help. Mm-hmm. That's the other thing. Like, it's such a... You can get so much out of the relationship if you drop your defenses as well, I think,
mm-hmm. yeah.
with a coach. And it takes a while because everybody's naturally... Even though you wouldn't know it, I'm quite reserved. Nobody believes me. But, like, I won't say much necessarily, except for on this podcast, about myself or my life. So as a coach, sometimes if someone was coaching me, they would probably normally think everything's just fine.
Mm-hmm.
I'm pretty good. I'm compliant. And it just takes a while to learn, oh, hang on. You know, sometimes she has self-doubt or other things like that that can be unpacked or, you know.
That's actually an interesting point. Yeah. So... story time again. You know, when I was early in my personal training coaching career, I definitely embodied that kind of guru mindset where, you know, I thought I knew best. I thought that I had all the answers. And I thought that, you know, my word was gospel, right? My way on the highway. You know, I know what I'm doing, right? And often the relationship I'd create with some of my early clients or early people that I helped or coached was that, you know, they would kind of come to me with a question and I have an answer. I always had an answer, right? But then as I developed as a coach, as I developed as a teacher, as a mentor, I got better at asking better questions, right? And what that tended to do was, one, allowed my, you know, clients or coachees, or heck, you see it in the challenge now where, you know, it's almost you get into the position where you help them find the answer. You don't give them the answer, but you start asking questions so that individual can find the answer themselves, right? And that could take, you know, them to do some light research, experimenting, right? And then it also puts them back on the guiding path where someone comes to me and they go, oh, Steve, I want to have 1,200 calories. And I go, okay, what for? Like, what are you trying to achieve? Okay, did you know that having, you know, this low of a calories might enter this? Like, what's going to happen when we get to that point, right? So you kind of, instead of telling them the answer, you answer them with questions, right? So my tip to any new coach is to think about what information you can gather from your client or gather from your mentee. And similar to maybe your position, Nick, where, you know, you might not be as open when you're working with a new coach. And similar to your, if you're listening to this and you're a coach and you're coaching someone, your client might not be open to you yet. Your mentee might not be open to you yet. So if you were to spend some time asking the right questions, you know, things like, what are your goal? What's the ultimate outcome? You know, where do you see yourself in a few years? Those types of things.
And reminding.
Right? And then you bring it back. I mean, you're like, okay, now, you know, my client, I know that your goal is, you know, you just want to play with your kids. You just want enough energy to be able to play with your kids. You know, you don't really care about the six pack or the biceps or anything like that. Sure, they're well and great and good to have, but you just want to play with your kids, right? Then you have this nugget of information. We go, every decision you make is like, okay, is that going to get you closer to playing with your kids? Yes or no? Are we just wasting time here, or is there better things that we can do?
Right? Yeah, that's right. And the thing is also, you also have to be a bit crafty as a coach to listen out for their real goals, because the real goal is the one that, they're going to be compliant with. You know, if someone mm-hmm. says, I want a six pack, but they don't really, they just think that that's what health is,
mm-hmm.
then they're not going to sort of do everything that's required to get that level of leanness.
Yeah.
So, because it's not their real goal, and there's nothing wrong with that. It's just that as a coach, we have to, we can't put our own goals onto people.
No.
Because like, you know, just say, I love seeing any woman that comes through my studio, I like to say, you can push 1,000 watts, you know, just give me 6 months and I'll help you. Some people just want to ride the bike.
Mm.
They don't want to do that. That's my own goal. And I used to, probably in my early years of spin instructing, think that that was amazing to tell everybody to do. And then I realized every single person is an individual.
Yeah.
I mean, I realized that, oh, wow, you know, amazing to realize. But once you realize that as a coach, that every single person has their own goals and your goals are not part of that. You know, you have to actually take a step away, even if you might know maybe a better goal that you think is better for them. It's up to them to decide what their goal is.
That's right.
So you're going to clash as a mentor or a coach if you're trying to go, this worked for me
mm-hmm.
in the challenge mm-hmm. and that's what I did
mm-hmm.
and I got a six pack and I did this, because your client might not want that, even if you've got the best intentions ever. Now with my spin, I'll often say, you know, what is your goal, which is great mm-hmm. that I do that, but also just within the class, let people have time to decide what they want to do,
because
mm-hmm. I think there's that urgency when you first start out as a coach where you want to prove that you're worthy of the coach.
That's right.
And the mentor. There's nothing wrong with that either. It's just that I think you go through that phase. And once you've established, and then you eventually, once you start to see some results speak for themselves of your clients, or, you know, you start to actually make money out of it, you at some point you've got to actually back yourself and go, I've made it. I'm okay. I'm a coach now. So I can take a step back.
That imposter syndrome is real, hey?
Oh, I've 100% believe that. And even I reckon some of the mentors, if it's your first go of it, you'd go, oh my gosh, well,
I'm how not do good I enough know for I'm... this.
Yeah, like, yeah, yeah, yeah. And really all you're doing is extending a helping hand, and like 8 to 9 times out of 10, you'll have given someone something and you don't know how you've changed their life in some way. And that's all you can do as a coach, really, is hope to set somebody on the right path. You can't do it for them, can you?
No, you can't. Mm-hmm. You know, just speaking to anyone who's listening to this now, and if you've been thinking about being a mentor for a while,
mm-hmm.
You know, maybe you've done a challenge, or maybe you're halfway through this challenge and you think, yeah, I want to be a mentor. Yeah. You know, it's open to anybody. Anyone can sign up to be a mentor. And, you know, to be a mentor, you don't necessarily need to be a personal trainer. You don't need to be qualified in fitness. You know, you could just be there as a helping hand, right?
Yeah.
And that could be because, you know, maybe you've got some life experience, or you just, you know, maybe an empathetic person where you want to be helpful, right? Because most of the time when we are in a mentoring, coaching, teaching position, many times we are just qualifying an answer, right? Where someone would come to us with an answer because they're a little bit anxious, they've got some fears, anxieties around it, such as, you know, oh, I'm feeling bloated today. Am I on the right track, right? Remember, you know, you're, as a mentor, you're holding the map for them, and you just, you could just be like, yeah, no, you're on the right track. Like, don't stress.
Yeah.
You know, we're heading towards north. You know, the exit to the maze is just around the corner, right? And most of the times, that is enough for that individual to go, yeah, okay, great, I feel confident again, and they're on track. Right?
Yes, actually, that just reminds me, I've got to say this bit about, usually in my spin class, I always think of myself, in every single class, as the pilot,
mm-hmm.
and no matter what's going on in the class or in the plane or whatever's going on, it's my job to make sure that it lands safely and that nobody in that class ever notices that anything's going to go on.
Yeah.
So I always think of myself as a coach like that. It's mm-hmm. like, you don't ever want to go, oh my gosh, you're bloated, the ship's going to sink or whatever. Right. You never want to do that. You want to put them on a path where they're going to question what's going on,
mm-hmm.
but always tell them it's okay. If you keep following this mm-hmm. navigation, this path, we're going to be okay.
We're going to be okay.
Yeah.
I think the biggest takeaway would be that it's okay to say, I don't know.
Yeah.
Right?
Definitely.
And I think, you know, for myself, in my own, you know, ego, I guess, you know, I had hard times with saying I don't know, because I was always one to be like, yeah, well, I've got the answers, don't stress.
It's scary. Yeah. It's scary to say I don't know, and it is a scary thing. It still feels funny to say it, but But you have to.
Yeah. And, you know, if you are thinking of signing up to be a mentor or coaching someone or being a teacher, you know, it's okay to say, I don't know.
It's right? 100% okay. And there's the best thing about this community is that there's always a way to reach out and ask.
Yeah.
You know, there's us and then there are heaps of other ambassadors. There's heaps of people that might come up with the answer. And there might be also a million different answers, a million different ways in this maze to get to the destination.
That's so right.
Sometimes there's not just one correct answer.
That's right. Mm. So yes, if you're wondering, you know, am I good enough to be a mentor? Chances are you are. You know, I'm scared that I don't have all the answers. That's fine. It's okay to say I don't know, right? Most of the times when we're in that mentor relationship within the Facebook group, within the challenge, you know, you've got a plan. You've got a training plan, nutrition plan. So most of the times it is just bringing you back to that. You know, you bring you back to the map. You've got a map in front of you. We've got to focus on fixing the map. There's no point on grabbing the map and going, oh, well, you know, let's just block out half of the map. I want to recreate the map so that, you know, I want to recreate the map, but then do it so that I can still get to the exit. It's like, well, okay, a map's a map. It's going to get you there.
And we follow that same map, by the way. So it's not like we have a magical golden map.
No.
So everyone's got the same map. That's so even like if someone asks us a question versus you, we might just say the same kind of thing because there's really only a few things on the map, you know.
That's right.
In this challenge.
You can of course modify the map slightly, but you can't expect to recreate the map from the ground up. You don't need to. No. And you can't expect you know, let's say you sign up with a mentor, you can't expect that mentor to be able to recreate everything for you, right? You know, this is someone who's volunteered to help you. It's not in a formal relationship or anything. So we can't expect them to completely recreate the map. So look, if you're wondering, you know, am I good enough to be a mentor? Yes, you are. If you're wondering, you know, do I need to have all the answers? No, you don't. It's okay to say, I don't know. And you've probably seen me personally say, I don't know multiple times on the forum for some questions. You know, I can speculate and hypothesize and theorize different answers, but in the day, we don't know. No one really knows for sure. We hope that the sun's going to rise tomorrow, and it does, and it's been doing that for quite some time, but we don't know.
We can't absolutely prove that it's going to, though, can we?
I don't know. Well, you know, that flat earth when it comes around, right? I'm kidding.
Here we go. Where am I? Get that tinfoil hat.
So look, if we were to summarize, I guess, what we've spoken about today, you know, we've spoken a lot about the relationship between being a mentor, mentee, being a coach, coachee, teacher, teacher, student, right? You know, a big part of it is developing that relationship, right? Big part of it is both working, being a better mentee, being a better student, being a better beginner, and then looking at ways that we can be a better coach, right?
Yes.
Part of that is to ask questions back and forth. Part of that is to build that relationship. Part of it is to give it time, right?
Yeah.
At the end of the day, you know, your coach can't do it for you, right? I can't do it for you. You're doing the challenge. So in a way, I'm your coach, right? I can't do it for you. At the end of the day, you have to do it, right?
That's it. You have to take personal responsibility either way as well. So if you're a coach, you need to take responsibility for what's going on in terms of how much you can actually take on.
Right.
So you can't blame your client, go, they're annoying me, or so there has to be a barrier. And then also as the client or mentee, you also need to understand that your mentor is only going to be able to do so much for you.
That's right. You need
to do it yourself, and the quicker you learn, then the better it will be.
That's right.
And they'll always be there for you, but you need to be able to also steer the ship yourself.
That's right. Yes. Because Dan the Man can't do your comp for you.
No, he cannot. No. He won't be standing up there. He'll be cheering, I'm sure. But yeah, he won't be doing it for me.
Yeah.
No, he can't do any of it for me. No. He can only advise.
Yeah. Just like I can't do the challenge for you.
No.
You know, you can't do the challenge for somebody.
I can't.
You can be there and help them, but we can't do it for you.
Yeah.
No. And yeah, if you are thinking about signing up to be a coach, signing up to be a mentor, go ahead, give it a go, because there is, you know, lots of intrinsic rewards that come out of that, right?
You know, yeah, that paying it forward, you know, if you've ever had anything out of it and you pay it forward to someone else, it's such a wonderful feeling. And I think that's why we're in this industry.
That's right.
Full stop.
That's right. And I guess you personally take a lot away out of helping someone out, right?
You do.
I mentioned like intrinsically, but then also, you know, from like a development point of view, right? Like I think, you know, once I transitioned from, you know, being the fitness person to becoming the fitness coach, I started to learn more about being being fitness, and then I learned more about being the fitness person again, right? So it's just this evolutionary cycle where I've figured out what I don't know, and as you know, more people ask me questions about things and topics, I had to go back and, you know, review basic physiology. I had to go back and review, you know, and research different ideas and topics, and then, you know, ask questions to people who know more about things than I do, right? So it's almost like I was like a black belt at one point, and then, you know, I've started all the way back again, you know, and now I would put my hand up and say, I'm a beginner. I don't know anything, right? There's some things I know a little bit about, but at the end of the day, I don't know lots of things, right? But that's the whole point of it, right? Is that we can consistently refresh that black belt.
Definitely. Let it be white again.
Let it be white again. That belt. Well, that's it, guys. Thank you so much for joining us for the Challenge Weekly Show.
Thank you, everyone.
And we'll catch you next time.
See you. Yes.